Hello and welcome to the live webinar, 10 Last Minute Gifts for Your Holiday Email Marketing Program, sponsored by Silverpop and powered by Retail Online Integration, part of the Target Marketing Group. I'm Drew James with Retail Online Integration, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets on the console. And you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your experience today. Here today to discuss some last-minute ideas to your holiday email marketing program will be sure to make your brand stand out is Lauren McDonald, Vice President of Industry Relations at Silverpop, and Hallie Silver, Director of Online Services at King Arthur Flour. Lauren drives Silverpop's portfolio of industry leadership activities, sharing with marketers new ways to fully engage with customers and prospects. He has more than 25 years of experience in marketing, consulting, and strategic planning. Hallie Silver joined King Arthur Flour in October 2007, and as Director of Online Services has led the web team through three major site redesigns, the launch of the company's Baking Banter blog, and numerous web technology changes. She has also guided King Arthur Flour's social media efforts and his very successful email marketing program. So without further delay, I'm going to hand it off to Lauren. Thanks, Lauren.
Great. Thanks, Drew, and welcome everyone to today's webinar. Hallie and I are really excited to share the next hour with you and share a literally the smattering of lots of great ideas that each of you can deploy in this really this sort of last minute period that we're headed into and into the holiday season. So we do have an amazing amount of content, and we're going to be flying through this, and we will put up this slide at the end as well, but we probably are not going to have a lot of time for questions at the end, but do feel free to jot down now or later on our email addresses, and if we don't get to your questions, feel free to reach out to us directly, and we will address them. And so, Hallie, let's have everybody buckle up, and let's go ahead and dive in. So we're going to do a quick, just sort of a quick setup, and then we're going to dive into the 10 tips and then get you into hopefully time for a few questions at the end. So let's go ahead and dive in. So the core theme and the idea that Hallie and I is sort of coming into this webinar with is the idea that here it is, you know, we're approaching mid-October, and with, you know, as all of you know, this year in particular is a shorter holiday season with you know, sort of fewer shopping days between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and fewer weekends, and you know, sort of there's interesting things sort of lining up this year as far as when the days fall and everything like that. So it's even kind of more crazy than years past. And as part of that reason, many of you are starting even earlier than normal with both your in-store and online sort of holiday efforts and stuff. So the idea, the theme behind this season is that many of you probably have already built out your strategy, your plans and things like that, and then there's probably not a lot of time to do sort of significant major changes in your sort of holiday email marketing program, and you know, and things like do major new kind of integrations between your email platform and other platforms or things like that. Although Hallie's going to prove me wrong later on in one idea that we'll get to, but the idea is that most of this stuff is really sort of tactical, creative-oriented, you know, sort of programs and ideas that you can deploy at sort of this late stage. And so that's really, you know, kind of the framework is that first and foremost that there's sort of some foundational stuff that you really need to make sure that you take care of. And then a lot of the ideas are going to be in these sort of second two categories you see here with just sort of simple, you know, adding an additional email into a series, things like that, or really just sort of You know, what I'm referring to is holidayifying, making up a new word if that's never been used before, but sort of holidayifying a lot of things since this is such an important time of the year for everybody. So let's go ahead and dive in, and we're going to quickly go through this sort of foundational slide. The idea of sort of this you know, sort of next few weeks, if you will, is really important to getting your house in order. And like this image here, right, you know, you want to make sure that you avoid the really traumatic, huge mistakes, right? You can't afford, you know, in this analogy, sort of not having the bridges being built and lined up. You can expect that there's going to be small errors and mistakes and things like that that you can easily fix or recover from, but you really want to afford sort of major, you know, issues like data flows not working and integrations and things like that. So, you know, most of this is really obvious, but so we're going to kind of race through this quickly, you know, and so to that point, you know, kind of the first thing is really just make sure now that you know, all of your data is clean. The last thing you want to have happen, and, you know, at the height of this period is, you know, you're sending out double or triple the volume of emails, the cadence that you're normally doing, for example, is you want to make sure that, you know, your deliverability program is set up, all of your you know, your authentications are correct. You want to make sure that you're not, you know, that you have people on there and haven't opened and clicked your emails in 2 or 3 years, so you have inactive people and you send to a bunch of them that are going to get you junked or blocked or things like that. So you really want to make sure that all sort of the data and the deliverability stuff is taken care of. You want to make sure that if you're using, you know, connected up to web analytics or a recommendation engine or something like that, that you've actually checked and checked twice that the data is flowing from those third parties into your email provider and things like that, and that those emails are working correctly. And to that point, you know, go through your templates and check the navigation, the upper navigation, the lower navigation, check your preference centers. Last thing you want to have is find out that the, you know, your unsubscribe link doesn't work, and so you have, you know, 100 people clicking on the unsubscribe link because they are not real pleased with all of the volume you're sending, and then they can't unsubscribe, and so they hit spam complaint, and you're blocked somewhere, and you're totally screwed, right? So, you know, check all of those things really well. I've found a lot of clients just kind of, you know, forget to do that, right? And then it causes a mess. And Hallie, you were going to touch briefly on kind of a, you know, contingency plan when things don't go as you had hoped.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people, you know, they'll have sort of an oops email waiting to go just in case of emergency. But one thing we always like to do is have sort of one or two back pocket emails that we can pull out, and, you know, if we need to boost sales or if another email we plan to run can't run for whatever reason. So we always like to have some backups there to fall back on.
Yep, great. And then she'll touch on the kind of last one about creative assets in a second. So, Hallie, you're going to take these next two slides.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, talking about the foundational and the basics of your email, making sure everything's working as well as it can, you know, perfect example is a mistake we recently made. At the top left, you'll see a free shipping email that we ran this past August. And on the bottom, you see free shipping that we ran at the same time last year to the same list. Same offer, same open rate for these two emails, but the one we ran this year on the top had about a 40% decrease in click-throughs. And so, you know, we made some very small changes to our call to action. They had a huge negative impact. You'll see at the bottom, it's, you know, a big, bold font, you know, offer ends midnight tomorrow, click to activate. You know, we're asking users to click. And then at the top, we have a very pretty script font. It's like, yeah, it ends tomorrow. So that small change, it really hurt us. So we took a close look, and we're not going to make that mistake again.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, the real point there is, yeah, I mean, not even, you know, beyond sort of the checking the links and stuff like that, really leverage those learnings and you know, like you said, I mean, that's you know, yeah. In essence, by going to that one on the right, you know, you're potentially increasing click-through rates throughout the holiday season of 40%, right, by just, you know, using the correct font and things like that.
Absolutely. And, again, it's that very basic call to action. Make sure it's as strong as it can be because you don't want to lose potential sales through that. So this next example is just recycling old content. So we took a look at some of our top emails from the last holiday season, ones that had a high open rate, high click-through rate, high conversion rate, and we looked at our new subscribers, and we have 175,000 new email subscribers since these emails were sent. So this is a great time to just recycle and leverage that old content to your new customers. I'm sure a lot of you have this sort of everlasting content. You have some similar products that you sold last year, and, why not recycle and reuse what has worked for you in the past? So that's something we'll have in our plans for this holiday season.
Great. And so that was the, kind of the first, just as I mentioned, Holly and I want to just kind of go through that quickly. Most of this stuff was probably pretty obvious, but hopefully, the one I love, the sort of the tip on checking the fonts and what you learned from that and stuff. But, the sort of the core message there is use these next couple of weeks to make sure you go through and all of the, the integrations, the data flow, your segmentations, your queries, your templates. Make sure all of that stuff, the templates, everything like that is working quickly so you're not kind of running into any disasters in sort of the middle of the holiday season. So with that aside, let's move into kind of the more creative and fun part of the rest of the session. And so the first, kind of the second one really is this idea about, sort of don't be shy, leverage this opportunity to significantly grow your database during the holiday season. And so, you're going to have during this time of year, traffic at significantly greater levels. And Holly, I know you actually had some kind of numbers around that or what you guys see.
In the 6 weeks around Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll see, about 30% of our site traffic and 40% of our sales. So that's a very short time frame that you really need to capitalize on.
Yeah, so that's just a huge opportunity for some of you. Yeah. It might even be higher than that, right? Many of you we'll see, 60-70% of your revenue come from the holiday season, others sort of less, but the idea really is that for most of you, you probably have, the double, triple, quadruple, whatever it is, amount of traffic during this time, and so don't blow it. Like, don't miss that opportunity to grow your opt-ins, increase those opt-ins. And so, really one of the things I've been harping on this for years, and so many retailers, about a third of retailers and surveys I've done over the last few years continue to do this, they make it difficult for people to opt in. They hide the opt-in at the bottom of the page or whatever. Don't do it. Battle, argue with the people that own the website and make sure you can get that link, that opt-in form, however it is you approach it, at least in the middle of the page, if not the top. So, here's a simple example of actually where a Conair client does both. You can see there they have the opt-in up there at the top of the website, and they also have one kind of, mid-level, and that one has the actual form field and a little bit of copy and things like that. So, battle, argue, if it's hard for people to find it, get it up there at the top. And even consider why this one doesn't show it. Think about actually tweaking that copy around your sort of opt-in form field for the holiday season. If you have some special, kind of discount programs or throughout the year you don't normally offer free shipping or something, but you offer that during the holiday. If you have something unique or different that you can incentivize during the holiday, use that space wisely to add in some of that copy so you can maybe, double the amount of people that are going to say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and opt in this time of year. So, really make that a priority. And, here's some just sort of quick examples of the kind of lift that other brands have gotten achieved by moving, that sort of opt-in link from, let's say, the bottom of their home page or other pages up to the top. You can see it varies widely, but it can be, anywhere from about a 50% lift to a 5x lift, right? It can be off the chart how you can grow. So if you do the math, if you think about the sort of the traffic, the number of people that opt in to your email program throughout the year, and then look at what that traffic and that opt-in rate is during the holiday season, think about that impact on that number. It could be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people just by making that that move. And then, of course, the hottest thing that's going on right now, not just in retail but all industries, is everybody's moving to what I refer to as popovers. It goes under about 10 different names, interstitials, glideovers, light boxes. There's about half dozen names that I'm blanking on that refer to this, but it's this idea. It's not a pop-up, right? A pop-up, it opens in a new window, and your browser can block it. Whatever popovers actually launch in the same HTML page, right? So it's virtually impossible for the consumer to block them. They used to be thought of a couple of years ago as very aggressive and in your face. Now it has become so common that it's kind of become the default way. And in the lift that companies are seeing is oftentimes even greater than just that move from kind of the bottom to the top of the page. And I know, Holly, you guys were, if I can say this, we're maybe a little bit late bloomers on this, but you did
We were recently. A little hesitant to do it, and we just launched a few popovers. I'll give an example in the next slide. But we also launched popovers. We've launched them on our blog and some other portions of our site, and I have to say they perform phenomenally well. And, you know, Performance Spike, they show a great popover here that's, you know, giving you a reason to sign up for their newsletter. One thing that I think Tiffany's and many sites miss is giving that reason to sign up, and they're you know, giving a very strong incentive here, but they've got it on the homepage. Don't forget those back doors. We have so much more traffic entering in through product pages, through recipes on our site, through blog posts than we do on our homepage. So, you know, you got to start thinking about those back doors as your homepage, and don't lose sight of that opportunity as well, because it's a big one.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think, you know, while you're getting ready to talk about what you did here, I mean, I think a really great tip that you brought up that's overlooked is, your blogs, your other kind of related sites. And it's not just your homepage. I mean, homepage may be, the number one. I mean, for you it sounds like it's not, but for a lot of brands it may be the number one place. But think about where people are coming in through Google search and banner ads or things like that. They may be coming into your site, so don't forget to whether it's the popover or other kind of, you know, easily findable ways for people to opt in. You know, don't neglect the back doors, the blogs, the other parts of your site, right? Even customer support areas, whatever it is. Yeah,
absolutely. And that tends to be where a lot of the new visitors to your site come in, because they'll stumble across some piece of content or some product or some article, and so they will be coming in through that back door, through search, not through the front door, not through the homepage. So very important not to overlook. Another place where we have added a popover is through our checkout process. The checkout funnel is one of our best sources of email signups, and we used to have it on the billing information page, and it was just a little checkbox that was pre-checked, yes, sign me up for your email newsletter. And so we moved it to the end of checkout. After you've checked out and you get your order confirmation page, a popover window shows that you see here. We were a little concerned about this. There are many fewer people that actually complete the checkout funnel than who start it, so we knew we could be getting fewer impressions on this page, but it's a much stronger call to action, and we've seen a 50% increase from moving it to the end of checkout, which was shocking to us all and a really pleasant surprise. So
yeah,
very
that's
excited
great.
About the results of that one.
Yep, awesome. All right, so now we've Holly and I have gone through kind of the sort of real quickly some of the foundational stuff. Now it was sort of launching, we're kind of approaching this almost kind of a life cycle approach, where step one then is, how do we take advantage of all this traffic and increase opt-ins throughout a couple of really, really great trips there. Now that you have, these new subscribers in your program, or you already have your existing database of people, how should you start communicating to them a little bit differently in preparation for this really important time of the year? So we're going to talk real quickly about kind of two ideas here around kind of onboarding and seasonal reminders, right? And so the first idea is that most of you already probably have a really good welcome program, whether it's a single welcome email or a series or whatever it is. Hopefully most of you are moving to even kind of the next level. I like to call it onboarding, where it's actually personalized and dynamic based on, you know, things that people have looked at on your site, et cetera. But the idea here is to take your, for new subscribers, take your existing welcome program and tweak it. So it could be just sort of, you know, creative themes and things like that. Some of the copy, tweak it around, recognizing that these, all these new people that are coming into experiencing your brand at the holiday season, you know, they have very unique and specific interests at this time of the year. It's going to be things around return policies and shipping calendars and things like that, and do you have gift cards or whatever it is. But the other thing is they may be coming in and you may be, you know, tripling your normal cadence as opposed to, you know, in June or something like that. And so, you know, be transparent. Let them know that, you know, the cadence is going to increase and things like that. Add in maybe a unique email around kind of how they can follow you on social, or just, again, highlighting special events or in-store things, whatever it is that you have that's unique to your business at the holiday time. And so one way to do that is through the welcome process and sort of tweak it. The other thing, and, you know, show you an example here from Zappos, where they do a good example. So this is not a welcome email, but this is actually an email that goes out, you know, at the sort of the beginning of the holiday season to existing subscribers. And Hal and I really, really sort of like this one for some of the kind of the specifics it does, right? So it's, you know, it tells you starting a particular day. This is from a few years ago, obviously. But, you know, the days of the week, the sort of the frequency, 3 emails a week until December 4th. So very specific around kind of their cadence. And then, you know, just is, if not as important, as they go through those sort of key things about, you know, sort of shipping and return policies and things like that. So really highlighting all of those issues that we know are really critical to conversions at this time of year. So, you know, kind of in summary on this section, whether it's kind of that welcome email for new subscribers or email to existing subscribers, you know, we think it's important to, you know, add or tweak the kind of content that lets them know, you know, that they can expect if, in fact, you know, you're dramatically increasing your frequency, and then what they can do about it. You don't want to lose them, right? So what sort of the alternatives to opting out are, how they can change their preferences, you know, reassure them around anything around the shipping policy, call center, customer support, things like that. You know, give them those all, chat, whatever it is that you have, remind them about, you know, email only specials, or if you have physical stores, special things that are upcoming, you know, notify them about those. And again, we'll be harping on this multiple times, those sort of key things around, you know, sort of shipping deadlines and return policies, and if they run out of time, that you have gift cards and things like that. So now we're going to move into kind of, you know, kind of following on that idea of letting them know first and foremost around kind of everything that's sort of special and help with conversions in the holiday season. This next one is, you know, it can apply to throughout the year, but it's even more important kind of during the holiday season, is do anything and everything you can to make it easy for the consumer, you know, to kind of complete the purchase process, if you will. So, you know, you want to make it like this, right, easy, and not like this, right? You don't want to make consumers jump through the hoops, right, to do what they want to do. So a couple of quick ideas here. One is this is actually something that I mocked up. So if you see there in the red box, the shipping options, return policy, gift cards, and, you know, the made-up 1-800 number. So this is not actually in this J&P Cycles email. I just grabbed a screenshot and used their idea. You see up there the request, the catalog to the left, and the customer service and tech support. Those are just simple text hyperlinks in the email. And so my point here is that you can, you know, literally – work with your coder, designer, whatever, in 5 minutes and drop in some temporary links if that's the way you want to approach it, like those, as opposed to redesigning those, in this case, those, you know, sort of blue graphical buttons and things like that, right? These are, you know, literally, again, something you can drop in temporarily in your template for 6 weeks or whatever it is. And, you know, you may or may not like this location or approach, but think about how you can kind of add in those sort of navigation links that make it really quick and simple for people to find out, you know, the answers to the things that you know they're going to be curious about. The second area is something that I'm a sort of a big fan of, particularly this time of the year, is, you know, take the brain work out of it for the consumer. Do not make them think they're going to be busy. They're looking at your competitors' emails, your emails. They don't have time. Make it as simple as possible for somebody to make a decision about, you know, wanting to buy, a product or not. So one of the tips that I've always loved, and Amazon does a good job at it, is showing sort of every variation of the price. So you can see here they have the list price, they have, you know, the line through it, then they show the discounted price in red, and then they show what you save, and they show both the percentage off and the actual dollar off. I love that, right? And so it's the idea that different people may respond differently to percentage versus dollar off or whatever it is. So just show all of it. Use that space. Show all of it, and so that you know, somebody that is more motivated by a percent off will be converted. Somebody that likes seeing the dollar figure off or whatever, and so it's doesn't take much more work, but it just one of those sort of little tweaks that can help on conversions. And then, Hallie, you're going to talk about one of my all-time favorite holiday approaches.
Yeah, so we have a little shipping deadlines chart that we add into every single one of our emails starting about the first or second week of December. We started doing this a few years ago, and it's just a way for us to be sort of open and transparent about our shipping deadlines and when you need to shop by for your order to be guaranteed to make it to the recipient. And, you know, we have a great response to this, and it's, you know, instead of just linking to our shipping page, a great way to sort of just be open, upfront, and clear with our customers. And obviously, as we get closer to Christmas Day, we'll say what states are no longer available and just try and give that convenience to our subscribers. We'll add this to every one of our emails running in December.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, this is probably my all-time favorite. Sort of, I wrote a blog about this, Hallie, you remember, a couple years ago, but this is one of my all-time favorite simple holiday tips, right? As you said, drop it in there, your template for the end, and you update it throughout the year, so it's not static, it's real time and stuff, and you said it saves that you know, sort of click through and stuff. But so this tip alone has paid for the webinar today, right? So let's move on to number five. So that was, you know, again, just some think about everything you can do with your program to make it easy for people to you know, do what you want them to do, which is, you know, click, convert, and buy. So now we're going to move on to kind of a, you know, the next kind of related topic, which is now that, the, you know, people are engaging with your email and stuff like that, you know, in the real world, we know that on a good day, maybe they're opening on about 25% of your emails or whatever. And so what can we do to try to get that other 75% to you know, sort of come back and or to engage with the emails and convert? So just a couple of quick ideas around, you know, kind of reminders and resends and things like that. Be creative of how you can touch these people again to get them to, you know, to be for your brand to be top of mind and get them to come back and convert, both with content and reminders.
Yeah, so this example from Cuddledown, this is a great one. You know, they have their Black Friday offer. It's one offer, and there's one day, but they squeeze three chances out of it. So they send, you know, the offer out first thing in the morning, hey, today, Black Friday, 25% off everything. Then that evening, same email, almost identical creative, but hey, hurry, only a few hours left. You know, there's still time to save. And then they even extend it out onto the next day intentionally, and they say, oh, you know, in case you missed it, there's still time to save 25% off. And, you know, they see a huge increase in response by taking that one offer and doing a series of emails around it. And at King Arthur Flower, we've taken a similar approach. So March 14th is Pi Day, you know, kind of a hokey
for all the
play
on
3.141, you know, it goes on. Anyway, so we had a $3.14 shipping on your $31.41 order, and we sent that email out, I think a little bit the day before. The next day we sent out that same email, you know, grab a slice of the pie, and we send that resend to the openers of the first email, And it's counterintuitive. You think that a larger set of people have received the first email than the second, but we see that the bulk of our sales come from that resend. I think we had about 60% of our sales for that entire promotion come from the second email, even though it went to a smaller group. So, you know, a great way to sort of maximize the impact of the promotions that you're running.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's just an amazing tip, another fabulous tip, Helen. I think that sort of your point that's really want to stress on this is the, you know, the counterintuitive. A lot of times when I know when I've talked about these programs and stuff, a lot of people, you talk about resending to the non-OPRs, and you found
yeah.
just the opposite, that sending
yeah.
to the OPRs, you know, actually delivers better. And actually, when you think about it,
yeah.
it actually is maybe intuitive and not counterintuitive, because those are the people that already engaged, but they didn't convert, and so it's sort of, you know, maybe they got busy or whatever it is, and so you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
when I joined King Arthur, for years we were resending to non-openers. Oh, they didn't open, let's try again. And then one day we're like, huh, let's try sending to the openers, and bam, sales were through the roof. So
yeah.
we haven't looked back on that strategy.
Nice.
So the next example I want to give is just about content. So, you know, we're sending so many promotions over the holidays especially, but we don't want our subscribers to get tired of hearing from us. We want them to look forward to getting our emails. So we make sure that most of our promotional emails contain content, and that we're also sprinkling in purely content emails. And, you know, we're lucky to be in the position where we have a lot of great engaging content. And I'll say our content emails consistently drive the most traffic to our site. You know, we'll see huge spikes in traffic on our site. In fact, that middle email, the freeze one, actually drove so much traffic to our blog the first time we sent it that our blog went down. We froze the blog.
Oh, wow.
Which was a, you know, not a great problem to have, but it just shows the power of the content emails. And we believe that you know, our strict rule about always sprinkling in content and keeping a good mix of content with our promotions is what keeps our unsubscribe rate really, really low.
Yep. No, I think this is another fabulous tip. And I know many on the webinar today are probably thinking, well, yeah, right. You know, she sells, you know, flour and baking goods, and there's recipes and all this awesome content and great photos and stuff like that. And, you know, we sell, you know, shoes or whatever it is, right? And so we don't have the richness of content. But I would challenge you on that, in that, you know, there still are a lot of things you can do. There's probably a lot of existing great content that you have, whether it's in your catalog or different parts of your website. It could be buying guides. I mean, there's you know, tips or fashion tips. I mean, there's, you know, whatever business you're in, whether retail business, there's probably content that you can leverage for somewhere. And as Holly said, sort of sprinkle it in there. It gives you an excuse almost to keep that cadence up as high as you know you want to during the holiday season, but to, you know, alter it, and it not just being every one of them, you know, 20% off and free shipping and by tomorrow's deadline at Black Friday or whatever it is. It allows you to sort of engage with these people and give them another reason to kind of open and keep your brand top of mind. So then when the next email comes in that is that offer incentive, they're like, oh, yeah, those are the guys I love. They have great content. I'm going to check it out, right? And so I think it's really a great approach. So let's go ahead and move into the next one, one of my favorite topics, and most of you are probably tired of hearing about cart abandonment remarketing programs. It's probably been, you know, at least in the world that I live in, the single hottest topic in the last couple of years of, you know, retailers have really woken up to the amazing you know, results that come from cart abandonment remarketing programs. So we're going to touch on that real quickly. And so, you know, the idea really around this is that, you know, this time of year, because people are buying for, you know, friends and family or other things, and there's so many sales and stuff like that, for most of you, the cart abandonment rate probably even goes up higher. The typical, you know, industry average per se is, you know, 60 to 70%. For many of you, it might go up to 80% or higher during the holiday season. So the point is, it's just this amazing challenge, but also a huge opportunity of deployed correctly. How can we use email to get people to come back and complete their purchase? But card abandonment programs can actually, you know, be fairly difficult and technical and complex to set up. They, you know, I had one client get their program up and running, a very complex one, in 45 days. But for a lot of clients, it takes, you know, several months and stuff. So the idea coming into this was that for most of you, these tips were going to be about sort of how you can sort of tweak your existing card abandonment program. But as always, Holly has proven me wrong.
Yes, I don't believe it's a complex thing to get up and running. We don't have a card abandonment program yet. But a few weeks ago, we went and we got the tracking code from Silverpop, from our email service provider, put it into our pages. That took our engineers about a day. Our designer created this fabulous, I don't know, every time I look at this email, I just laugh. You know, right. It's nothing complicated or flashy. It's just a very basic, simple email template, but it grabs your attention. You know, it's not complicated with pulling in items in their wish list that, you know, or from their cart that yep. have low inventory. We're just a plain static email, and we'll have the whole thing up and running from start to finish in probably 3 weeks. So, you know, sure, November might be too late to make significant changes to your website, but you can add an email. You can add an automated email. It's something you can do in the middle of November, and it might not be this big complicated project, or you can keep it really simple. So this will hopefully be launching for us next week, and I'm expecting great results from it.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. And so I love it when you prove me wrong, Holly. And but I think there also, in all seriousness, is a really important lesson from this, in that oftentimes, you know, people like myself who are out there on the speaking circuit and doing webinars, you know, we talk about sort of the perfect, best practice, ideal, world class, you know, card abandonment email or whatever that has all these complicated things going on it. And you know, the reality is a lot of these automated programs, how they say you can start with just a basic, simple one and then iterate it and prove it. And that's exactly what you've done here. You've started with just a basic. There's no card information. It's just a reminder, hey, come back and complete your purchase. I love what you've done with sort of the copy as well, with the holidays fast approaching. Some merchandise will be selling out quickly. Make sure, you know, you get what's in your cart. I mean, you've recognized the holiday season, all those kinds of things. So you can actually get some of these, you know, sort of more technical automated programs up and running if you actually put your mind to it. So great stuff. So I'm going to assume for the next couple of minutes that for many of you, you actually already have a card abandonment program up and running. So what are the couple of things you might be able to get done, you know, in this next sort of 2 to 4 week period, right? And, you know, a couple of those might be around going real time, adding in some product reviews or recommendations, adding a couple emails, and my favorite word of the day, holidayifying. And so the first thing is, and this might be the most difficult one of all, but a lot of you probably do your first card abandonment remarketing email around 24 hours after abandonment. And one of the reasons for that is because many of the web analytics providers or your e-commerce platform or whatever does batch processing, you know, like after midnight, the night after, that evening after the abandonment or whatever it is. And so by the time those abandonments get into your email platform to send out the emails, it can be 18, 24 hours later, whatever it is. But CY, an awesome company, great partner of ours that specializes in enabling real-time card abandonment, has seen across their client base by moving from like 24 hours up to real-time, and that can be however you define it, within minutes or an hour of abandonment, can increase the conversion rate, of around on average 100%. So, you know, time is everything. Right. So if that's something you can possibly get done, you know, in the next 2 to 4 weeks, see if you can get that done. The second thing is probably a lot easier because it doesn't really require sort of the technical aspect, which is many of you might only do a single cart remarketing email, right? That email I just talked about that maybe goes out, you know, 24 hours after abandonment, right? But look at these numbers on this chart. This is one of my all-time favorite slides that I use. The client of ours, Demco, you know, see here that first cart remarketing email, they get an amazing 22% conversion rate. right? But what if they just stopped there? Like, look at the amount of money that they would leave on the table if they didn't add that second and third card email. You see, they get a 15% and a 24% conversion rate on the second and third. And those first two emails actually have no incentives, no offers, nothing. In their case, kind of funny, they're in the library supplies business, and so they're, you know, they're selling to librarians. They actually offer up a Canvas tote bag as an incentive, and so that drives that 24% conversion rate, right? So, but think about, and particularly this time of year, you know, sort of holidayifying that content, that could be your strategy to add a second email or third email or whatever it is. Do something like, you know, what Eddie Bauer has done here with this. They've tweaked their card abandonment email, right? You can see with both sort of the, you know, kind of the creative visual theme and stuff like that, but also tweaked the copy a little bit. And again, my harping of the day is, because of everything we know about this time of year, is maybe tweak that copy to, again, remind people about shipping options, return policies, gift cards, right? Because one of those three things may be one of the factors that led them to abandoning their cart, right? And if there's other things, you know, make sure you add that in as well. So let's move on to number seven. I know we've got about 20 minutes left here, Hallie, so we'll try to put it into hyperdrive and get through these last four tips here. So this one is, you know, so we've gone through all this stuff. You're engaging with people. You're pounding out these emails, right? And some people are not going to be real excited about getting, in this case, and this is from my inbox from a couple of years ago, Barney's actually sent out 51 emails between Thanksgiving and January 2nd, you know, and 37 between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and many of you may not be increasing your frequency that level, but most every retailer I've ever talked to in the last, you know, half dozen years typically does increase frequency, you know, by 2x or 1.5 or 3x or whatever, pretty significantly. So your program may look something like this in somebody's inbox. And that, you know, the challenge with that, it absolutely works. It drives revenue, right? But the problem with pounding, right, is it can lead and does lead to an increase in unsubscribes during the holiday season. So the good news is that volume, that cadence drives a lot of revenue, but also can dramatically increase your churn. So a couple of really quick tips, simple tips. One is, you know, most of you hopefully have a really good sort of footer with good, not tiny little 6-point, 7-point grayed out font links, but you have really easy to find links that enable people to go change their preferences and update their profile, change their email address, or even unsubscribe or whatever. But think about being specific, especially this time of year with that copy, right? So if you do offer an opt-down, which I'll get to in a second, you know, just say receive fewer emails or things like that. If you offer, you know, a snooze or pause, which I'm going to show in a minute, you know, add that. So whatever kind of options, you know, you offer up in your preference center and stuff, you know, just call those out. Even though every one of those links may actually go to the same identical preference center page, just call it out, because your average consumer may not know what clicking on update your profile actually means or what their options are. But, you know, that update profile link to them doesn't necessarily state loudly, I can click that and change my email address or whatever. It may be obvious to you and me as email marketers, but it may not be to them. So call it out. And so as I teed up, you know, so click it off and, you know, an update and make that preference center page, you know, as good as possible. You can be, you know, offer up those change of email address things. Use, you know, humorous themes or holiday themes, whatever it is you need to do to make this sort of a great experience and really clean and simple, box things out, right? So it's very simple for people to use graphics and things like that to basically take advantage of the different preference center options you offer. One of them that a lot of people use is obviously the sort of the opt-down is what most retailers refer to it, but just the idea of offering a reduced frequency, right? So you can see here, one of our favorite clients, Moose Jaw, you know, offers up, somebody clicks on that, you know, update preferences link or whatever, you know, if they're getting too many emails, they actually have the option to, you know, reduce that down to fewer emails. Could be tough for you to get that launched if you don't have it this time of year, but if you already have some way to kind of offer reduced frequency, right, even if it's just down to kind of like, you know, your one single email a week or something like that, see if you can get that into kind of your preference center and footer link options and stuff. And the other sort of final tip in this area is something we call snooze, you call it pause, whatever you want, is, but the idea if you have the ability to offer this up is you know, just instead of people unsubscribing, they can actually click what we call, you know, again, snooze, but they can basically pause their program. And it doesn't, you know, we see about 3 to 5% across our clients that use this, we see about 3 to 5% of people that click on the unsubscribe link actually take advantage of this. And I know, Hallie, you guys have deployed this and I think see something similar to that. Is that correct? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we, you know, we'd much rather have somebody just snooze for a few months or,
yep,
you know, half a year than go away completely. So, yeah, we absolutely offer it as an option.
Yep, great. So, number 8, social and email, and I'm going to turn this in a second over you to Hallie to run through these, but really the kind of the core idea here is, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to integrate social and email, and historically, you know, with sort of the shared a social idea, right, that unfortunately a lot of email marketers just added in, slapped in links in their emails and hope people would share it. But the point I always talk about is, you know, people aren't going to share your content just because you put a, you know, a Facebook link in it, right? You've got to make
exactly
the content share worthy, you know. So I always say, you know, sort of what's your ice cream? Like, what is it that you can offer up in those emails that's actually going to, you know, interest people into wanting to share your brand, your content in that email with other people? And so with that, Hallie's going to walk us through a, kind of a couple things that they do.
Yeah, so this email you see right here is the second part of our welcome series. So somebody signs up for our email newsletter, we send them a welcome email, thanks for signing up, here's an offer, a 10% off promotion. And then a few days later, they get this email, and it's saying, you know, you can connect with us in other ways, you know, not just have that one-way conversation that we blast out to you via email. So, and rather than just say we have a presence on all of these, we try and visually explain what they are. So you can call us on the Baker's Hotline and ask us your baking questions. You can see all of our great seasonal recipes on Pinterest. You can, you know, have a conversation with us on Facebook, or you can see what's going on around King Arthur Flour on Instagram. So try and give a little, you know, quick read as to what's going on and how customers might also keep in touch with us and have a conversation with us. And we also use sort of the one-way conversation of email to generate a real conversation on Facebook. So here's an example from one or two Christmases ago, where we always send out a Happy Holidays card around Christmas time. And this one we just said, hey, you know, tell us what you're baking, so, you know, post a photo to Facebook. You know how much people love to take photos of their food and post it to Facebook. So we sent this out, and we got over 150 photos added, and it was just a really fun, engaging, you know, and had a really nice, positive feel to it, and it was a great way to use email to start a dialogue. And we've done things the other way around as well. We've done photo contests on Facebook, and then we've used those to be the features on our holiday card emails. So we've done the conversation the other way as well, which has been really fun.
Nice.
And so this next example, I know Lauren keeps saying it's one of his favorites, but I think this is one of his favorites, is an example of, you know, how we're driving, using Facebook to drive email signups. So obviously people are always coming onto Facebook and posting on our wall, when's your next free shipping offer, when's your next sale? And we've posted promotions to Facebook before, and they've done okay. We've brought in a little trickle of sales, but Facebook is really about a conversation. Email is what really drives sales on our site. So what we've done now and what we started to do is, you know, say, watch out in your email inbox for a special offer coming soon. And, you know, if you want to get this special offer, you need to sign up for our email newsletter. And that has driven a ton of subscriptions to our email newsletter and been a really effective way of growing our list. We really want to turn those Facebook followers into email subscribers as well.
Great. So we've got two tips left in about 10 minutes, Hallie. So we're gonna fly through these last two tips and just
fast.
A quick reminder. Yeah, we'll probably have, so I don't know, 3-4 minutes for questions. So just teeing up, folks, if you've got questions, why don't you go ahead and start posting those now, and we'll make sure that we can get to those. So with that, though, let's dive back in so we can get to those. So number 9, you know, really hot topic, obviously, is dealing with sort of the mobile consumer, right? And you know, consumers are using what I like to refer to as screen size of palooza. It's not just these mobile devices. It's desktop, it's iPads, it's laptops, it's all these different things. And from a design perspective, that's obviously a huge challenge. And for most of you, you know, that you're at sort of in the 40% to 50% range of percentage of your subscribers now, you know, sort of opening and engaging your emails on mobile devices. Some of you are even higher than that, but most everybody now is at least at about 40%. So this is not something you can ignore anymore. But the real point I want you to think about today, though, also is that this isn't just sort of a, you know, a kind of a design issue, but it's a context issue, because think about where consumers are actually engaging with your emails when they're on that iPhone or Android or whatever. So they're standing there in line at Starbucks buying that double decaf soy latte with a chai twist or whatever it is, right? And, you know, so they're going through, they're opening your email, they're glancing at it, looking something, they're maybe scrolling through it or whatever it is, but probably not going to whip out their credit card while they're standing in line and buying it. But the importance of that experience, right, that mobile experience in that Starbucks or whatever it is, or on the train or wherever they're at, is that not to blow it, right, to make that a good experience on the mobile. And so even though they may not buy then, they'll hopefully have a good experience and come back later that evening and complete the purchase, right? So it's, you know, the mobile is where you can actually kind of blow it, right, by having a bad experience, right? And so really make sure that you understand it's not just about them converting from the email when they're on their mobile device, but enabling them to come back later maybe and purchase it on the couch watching, you know, Breaking Bad on their iPad or on their desktop or whatever it is, right? And so, you know, the hot topic within this, right, you know, and where we're going is with responsive design. But at this point of the year and the holiday season, you know, you probably don't have time to go through and do sort of redo all of your templates and responsive design. But there are a couple of last-minute things you can do, just sort of general, you know, sort of best practices, mobile-friendly stuff, right? One is, you know, just sort of rethink how much content you load up in those emails, make them more scannable. You know, sort of, you know, in the holiday, your retailers, you have multiple products. You may not be able to, you know, take it down to a single product or whatever, because everybody in your merchandising group says we need to get our product in. But make sure you strategically prioritize them. Of those products, you know, put the most important one, the one that you think is going to convert at the highest rate, at the top, or whatever it is, right? Increase, you know, the font size. Make sure your call to action buttons are larger and bulletproof. And, you know, really maybe one of the most important ones is touch, right? Sort of the reality is you know, on mobile, this old mouse is irrelevant, right? The new mouse is the finger, right? And whether it's a, you know, an Android or iPhone or you know, a tablet device, almost all of them are touchscreen, right? So, you know, one of the really simple basic tips and mistakes that a lot of marketers make is something like this, right, where you see all those links and it's not just in the pre-header text, but it's, you know, it's throughout the email. So make sure that those links, those text links and call to action buttons or anything are spread out enough so that the finger doesn't click on the wrong ones. And this is just this is from a General Mills email really clean and simple. See, love this. See the spacing around the copy and how simple it is, and good simple fonts, and everything sort of pops. And those are actually sort of text-based sort of buttons, if you will. So they're going to load even with images. Often, when you think about people accessing their mobile device, you know, when they're out on the cell connection as opposed to Wi-Fi, a lot of times all those images don't load and things like that. So clean, simple approach is really critical. And you had a couple points on sort of this one.
Yeah, so here are two very similar emails. It's a footer of two emails that contains very similar content. And the one on the left, you'll see there's no margin. You know, you can barely touch any of the targets in the footer. And the one on the right is just a simple redesign. The margin on the left and the right ensures that you can scroll through the email without accidentally tapping on a link, one of my pet peeves. And then at the bottom, you'll see just bigger text targets for those links. And one thing I should also mention, you know, going back to context, is that just make sure you put your phone number for your call center in there if you have one, because if somebody's standing in line or on the move and they see something that grabs their attention in the email, you have that opportunity to take their order on the phone because they're on a phone. So, you know, it's an easy thing to overlook, but an easy win as well.
All right, great. So let's take it into the last one. We'll fly through this, Holly. So, you know, the last really – yeah, most important thing is, you know, you've got all these new customers, great experience, et cetera. Like, you know, so again,
yep,
you know, make sure that you think about beyond just closing the deal and getting that you know, customer to convert and make that purchase. So think beyond that initial purchase and, you know, kind of things you can do to ensure that they have a great post-purchase experience. So Holly's going to show us one example of what they do at King Arthur Flower.
Yeah, so these are two examples of what we call our post-purchase educational emails. We have these great customers. They've bought from us, and we want to retain them. We want them to have success, and we found that certain products we get a lot of questions about in our call center, and we certainly don't want our call center inundated during the busy season. So on the left, you know, if somebody purchases our flower, we send them an email how to store your flower, how to accurately measure your flower, some of our top recipes. On the right, okay, you purchased sourdough starter. It needs to be fed. A lot of people have problems with this, but very clear, easy instructions, and it's just a way to sort of educate and keep our customers happy and using their products to the best that they can. These post-purchase educational emails have by far the highest open and click rates of any of our emails. So probably my favorite emails that we design and send out are these post-purchase emails.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
our customer service team loves it too. So
yes. Awesome. Absolutely. And so, and just to sort of, you know, a couple other quick ideas, right? You know, again, think about these are, you know, a lot of these people are new customers, new subscribers. So, you know, highlight them in that post-purchase process about how they can input their preferences. Maybe you didn't capture their preferences because they came in through the purchase process and you didn't have all the, you know, gender and demographics and all that kind of stuff. So make sure you capture that. A lot of people may have bought a gift, so make sure you know, think about how to communicate them for buying for themselves and enter, you know, become a member of your rewards program, things like that. And obviously just sort of traditional marketing programs, bounce back offers and recommendation emails and product review requests. Even though it may be a gift, you know, they can forward it on to the person that bought it. So in a quick rapid fire sort of wrap up, a few takeaways, right? Take advantage and convert as many of those you know, many of the people that are coming to your site during this time of the year and the new subscribers, holidayify that content, make it easy to buy. You know, don't be bashful around sending those kind of reminder resend emails and stuff that Holly talked about, and make sure that, you know, your emails are mobile friendly and that you have alternatives for people to do something other than unsubscribe if they don't like all that extra frequency. And again, sort of as we just wrapped up with, sort of think beyond the holidays. And so before we move into the 2 minutes we're going to have left for Q&A, if you're not familiar with Silverpop, we're a leading email marketing automation platform, some examples of some of our retail clients. And with that, I'm going to hand it to Drew. I think I'm handing it to Drew for Q&A. Are you there,
Lauren
Drew?
And Allie, thanks so much for some great content there. Sorry the line was muted. But I think we have time for maybe one quick question, and there is a great one actually here about cart abandonment. So let me throw that out to you guys, and then we'll get to the outro. In the example of the series abandoned cart program, the timing went day one, day three, day five. Do you find that small time gaps, for example, 24 hours in between each touch, is too aggressive?
No, that's, you know, and those time frames have been proven across, you know, kind of hundreds and hundreds of different clients. There is no exact perfect right answer, right? I mean, again, you know, in an ideal world, that first one will go out, you know, within minutes or within an hour or whatever it is, right? So people don't go off and shop at your competitor or whatever. So that's sort of the first thing. And then after that, it's really about sort of testing, right, and that kind of cadence. And so the idea is that a best practice is to send the second one actually 23 hours after abandonment, the idea being that people oftentimes have a particular shopping habit style of maybe shopping, you know, late at night after they put the kids down or whatever it is. And so if somebody abandons their cart at 10 o'clock at night, send that second one out the next day at 23 hours, right, so it's at the top of the inbox. And then, you know, give you that spacing of a couple of days, right, in between. It might be a day or a couple of days, whatever it is, but test it with your customer base, right, and sort of refine it, and then, you know, and then you've got that last one, you know, maybe 5 days or a week after, and that's kind of maybe your sort of your last one where you throw in the towel. But I also think one sort of final point, Drew, is that you know, I think a lot of people, if somebody doesn't convert after that 5 days or a week or whatever it is, don't forget to maybe send one final one, you know, several weeks later. Or if you do a 30-day, if you only keep items in the cart for 30 days, then maybe send one out, you know, sort of 28 days later before that the cart's going to expire, and do an expired cart kind of notice and things like that. So good basic foundation, but ultimately test it for what's exactly right for your customer base.
Awesome. Great answer, guys. I think we actually are out of time. So if anyone has any other further questions, please do feel free to contact Lauren or Hallie directly, as their information was on that slide there. On behalf of SilverPop and Retail Online Integration, I just want to thank everyone for attending today's webinar. And please be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events. And if you wouldn't mind, please just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next. We'd be grateful, and your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. So I do hope to see all of you at the next ROI webinar. Thanks again, everybody.
Great. Thank you, Drew, and thank you, everyone, from me and Hallie. And Hallie, it was awesome working with you on this webinar, and everyone, do feel free to reach out to us if you have follow-on questions. Thank you.
Thanks to both of you.